picked Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 through the rest of the letter, 7 through 18, and he's wrapping up his letter with some concluding thoughts. I thought, you know what, we need some kind of an ending message, and I wasn't ready for Revelation. So, and I don't want to do that here. I'd try that on my church first. No. But, Colossians. I don't know if you guys have walked through Colossians any time recently, but it's the supremacy of Christ is Christ is the image of the invisible God. All things were created through him. It's just Christ is God. And that's what Paul is reminding the Colossian church. He's encouraging them. Every one of Paul's letters, by the way, is a letter to encourage. Galatians and Corinthians, it's like it's an encouragement, kind of like some discipline with your child. But it's still to encourage them to start doing the right things. And I have been so encouraged by your church. Certain families in this church have really blessed our family since we got here. So I know what's going on in your body, and I'm just here to encourage you to keep it up. Keep up the good work. This is not going to be a message where I'm like, y'all ain't doing enough. You need to start tithing more. Matt did tell me to say that, though. No. All right. Colossians chapter 4, starting in verse 6. It will be on the screen if you don't have a Bible or a tablet with you. I think it'll be on the screen. Yeah. Teddy's got me. All right. Thank you, Teddy. Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you of everything that has taken place here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions, if he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans. See also that you read the letter from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. That's God's word. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you for this wonderful morning to come and hear from your word, God. I pray that your word would speak, that your spirit would carry any message you have for each person here to them clearly, so that they can know what it is you have to say to them. We want ears to hear what you have to say to us, God. We focus our minds and our hearts on you this morning so that we can receive what you have for us. You are a good Father, and every good thing comes from you, and we know that. And we look to you, Father, for those good words that you have for us. So, we love you, Jesus. Amen. So, all right, at first glance, this text is pretty straightforward. Paul is greeting some folks. He's saying, hey, bye, say hi. And then we see a list of people that are with Paul in prison where he's at. He's in jail writing this. And so you see this list of names. And there's some names on here. It's, for the most part, it's people that you would expect to be on here. Dr. Luke, verse 14. If you guys are going through the book of Acts, Luke wrote Acts. He was a physician, and we believe that he followed Paul around, even into prisons, as he is here, caring for Paul's needs. You'll remember, the guy gets beat and stoned and left for dead quite a bit. Dr. Luke stayed with him and nursed him back to life. He was with him. He was a faithful man. Nobody has ever said a bad word about Luke in the Bible. He wrote two of the largest books in the New Testament. He wrote Luke and Acts. So we got Luke, the doc, is with him. We got Aristarchus, verse 10. This guy, while we don't know a ton about him, he most likely volunteered to be in jail with Paul because that's how it was back then. You see, it wasn't like the prisons today where they're fighting over Kellogg's versus Captain Crunch for breakfast. This was like if your people didn't bring you food, you starved to death in prison. They didn't feed you. You had to have food brought in. And there was ways to volunteer to be in prison with someone. And that's what this guy likely did. Faithful. Tychicus, verse 7. This was Paul's mail carrier. Tychicus would take letters and go. And I'm talking long distances on foot. I did the math, and if we understand correctly, and he took one of the letters from Rome to Ephesus, it would have been 1,300 miles. That's like taking a letter and running from Benicia to Amarillo, Texas. One traveling trip of Tychicus. I don't know why whenever I hear Tychicus, I think of Icarus. You know, he's the same thing, but Tychicus really had a mission and he was running and Icarus is whatever. So, a faithful man, Epaphras. Now, I just experienced what Mr. Matt gets to experience every Sunday morning. You guys have a prayer engine, and it is a strong engine at this church that they pray together. And I think that's why your church, part of the reason your church is so blessed doing so many things. I'm so jealous. Although I don't want to be in charge of something with so many things going on, but I'm jealous. You know, you guys are really doing the do all over the place. And I know that by hearing the prayers of some of your saints, which I meant to find out where they were, I heard them. I knew two ladies and one guy. But yeah, just prayer warriors. That's this guy, Epaphras. Epaphras is with them. He's the guy in the corner on his knees for hours and hours that says he's always struggling on behalf of the church. He says so that they will stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. They're like, hey, Epaphras, we got some rations. We're splitting it up. Hey, you're going to come eat? And he's just sitting in the corner on his knees like not even answering. That's Epaphras. Now I'll eat later. I got food that you don't know of. He's a prayer warrior, knees looking like camel knees. These are guys you would expect in rolling with Paul, the great missionary. But then you got some people on this list that you wouldn't expect. You got Onesimus, this runaway slave. This wasn't like southern slavery. This was like he probably sold himself to the master because he was in debt or whatever, and then decided, no, I'm bouncing. So he's on the run, probably in jail for some kind of a crime or whatever. Paul meets him, he gets saved, and now Paul knows the guy that Onesimus ran from and says, hey, look, Paul has to middleman for this criminal and say, look, he's a believer now, would you take him back? You know, that's the whole Philemon letter. And so it's like, oh, okay, so there's some motley fellas in this crew. And then you got Mark. And you'll remember Mark and Paul did this one somewhere in their ministry careers. And Paul was like, I'm not working with Mark. He ain't cut for this mission that I got from God. Later in life, Paul will call him back. And so we don't know the exact timing of this letter. I'm torn, but I really think it's an earlier letter because of some of the names in this list, Demas and Mark. But Paul does, at the end of his life, after they had split for years, him and this guy Mark, he says, hey, bring Mark to me while he's in prison at the end of his life. He says he's useful to me, and there's a relationships restored and ministry together. But that's why I think right now, I think this is earlier. But so then you got Justice, or Jesus. He didn't make the all-star team when the disciples, you'll remember, you're going through Acts, they had to pick someone to replace Judas for the apostles. Well, the lots were cast, and Justice didn't get in. But that didn't stop him. He's here rolling with Paul later on. Demas, now this guy, this is really why I think this is an earlier letter, because Demas winds up abandoning Paul and doing him some great harm. And so you've got this random group of guys in prison doing ministry together. And I think why that's significant to me and what it speaks to me is, like, sometimes we look around our life and we're like, man, scratching our head at who our tribe consists of. We're like, man, how, God, are these people just still in my life? Who, like, I swear he gives us family, God gives us family just so we keep one eye on the long game. It's like, I know this certain family member is not going to come to Christ until they're on their deathbed, if they're going to, right? But we got to keep on doing life with them, loving them, praying for them, taking their remarks about our Christian faith, whatever it is. And you know, sometimes we look around and we go, God, who are these people in my life? Like, I should be, this just doesn't even make sense. Doesn't even make sense. Well, here's Paul, sitting in prison, again, with these guys. And I think he probably had a hunch, not all these guys are going to be with me in 2 years. I look around in ministry and I go, okay, that person ain't going to be around with me in 2 years, probably, unless God does something, right? You just got this feeling. And so, but here's Paul. He's never, like, you never see him discouraged about his circumstances. He's just going forward, just marching on. And I think for us, as we are here at the end of the year, and we look back at 2024, and we think, wow, like, I'm still dealing with this certain coworker, Lord. I'm still dealing with this, like, what's going on, God? Why? Why do you got this person in my life? That person in my life. This person. This. But you know what? God was doing something through this motley crew. In prison. He was doing some things. He was weaving. He was doing some things. And I think Paul had the wherewithal to always reflect. Something about prison is you have the ability to reflect. Now, I went to prison. Before I became a Christian, I was a criminal. And I thought I was doing the world a favor by robbing all the drug dealers in my town. If you're a drug dealer, I'm sorry. You got to quit doing that stuff. There's people out there like I was. Anyhow, the judge didn't think that I deserved a gold star when I went to court for getting caught robbing one of these drug dealers. And instead of a gold star, I got 15 years with 5 suspended. I did 6 years, 8 months in prison. I got saved 2 months after I got out. But one thing about being in prison is you get time to really reflect. I spent like 3 years in solitary confinement. I did a lot of reflecting. And all that's left when you're at the end is the memories you got. That's one thing I learned. It's like, you can put me in a box, you can strip me down, you can take everything from me, but you can't take these memories. I got some good memories growing up, going to Hawaii on trips with my family, Christmas. You can't take that. That happened, right? Well, we're at the end of the year, I think, and this is a practice that my wife has probably done before I even came into the picture, and I've jumped into, which is looking back over your calendar from the year and thanking God for the things that were on the calendar. See, we just keep going. Our phones keep us just going. We're in like robot mode, barely having time to do anything other than what our phones are trying to remind us about. But we need to pause. We need to pause and reflect. And when we do, I think we'll be encouraged in seeing how God has really blessed our lives. Despite the people around us, we can even look hard enough and see, oh, that person might be teaching me something. God is very intentional. And the fact that this annoying human being is still around means God must want me to learn something from this relationship. And there's something they've got for me. But we got to stop and we got to look. All right, not only were there people you wouldn't expect, Demas, John, Mark, there were circumstances you would not expect. Paul is God's guy. Paul studied under Gamaliel and met the risen Lord. Jesus spoke to Paul from heaven, making him an apostle with a capital A. He studied under the greatest teacher of the Jewish Pharisees. And so here he is. I mean, you would think Paul would be sitting in Jerusalem, shot calling and telling all the other apostles and churches underneath him, this is what you got to do, and da-da-da-da-da, and he would just be the man. But where is Paul at? Sitting in prison again. In prison. Doing the Lord's work. I mean, that just really flies in the face of the prosperity gospel we see today. Like, God just wants you to be happy and healthy and financially wealthy. And it's like, really? Well, let's look at Jesus's life for a minute here. And then he said, if that's how mine's going to be, you know, expect something like this. And then look at Paul's life. Now, I'm not saying we should all be in prison. I'm just saying we all have circumstances that we could be discontent about. I bet you every single, like I heard it in the prayer time, it's like we all have our struggles. We do. Every single person here, we all have these struggles. And it's because we're trying to be faithful to God. We want to be faithful, and we think, man, well, I'm being faithful, Lord. I'm not cheating on my taxes. I'm not cheating on my spouse. I'm not cheating on my employer. I'm praying. I'm reading my Bible. I'm even telling people about Jesus once in a while. But God, when I look to you, all I hear is crickets. And when I look around, all I see is problems. And we can get discouraged. Now, I know Matt just showed you what I'm about to show you. And this is not, I don't believe it's a coincidence. My buddy in Alaska, he's a pastor, he says, there's no coincidences, there's God-cidences. So when I said, when I sent Matt my slides, he called me. And he said, are you messing with me? I go, what are you talking about? He's like, I just used these slides on Christmas. I said, oh, no, I'll take it out. I can do something. No, he said, no. You know what? Do it. There were people that will be here that weren't there. There's reasons, and maybe some of us need to hear it twice, and maybe some of you will hear it five or six times. This will be your fifth or sixth time, because I know I heard it right when I got saved, and this is why I want to share it, and I like to share it, is because it stayed with me this whole time. Teddy, can we get that first slide, the first image? So, the tapestry, right? Our circumstances, the people in our life, how we see things is like we're looking at the back of a tapestry. The back of a tapestry looks like that. Messy. There's stuff that ain't been clipped. It's messy. We can kind of make out an image, though. We can kind of see what is being put together. And that's how our life is. We can kind of see what God's doing if we stop and look. But it's not till we get to heaven and that tapestry gets flipped and we see, oh, what God was doing was making something really, really beautiful. And we get that 20/20 vision, that hindsight. But we can see, if we look, that God is doing something in our life, despite what our circumstances are. I know everybody here is struggling with a certain set of circumstances. Certain situation, We all have different situations with different circumstances. But all of it involves some struggle. But all of it involves some God. And he's doing something. And so I know we're at the end of the year and we're looking forward to our resolutions. My resolution is, you know, I'm hitting that gym. All year I'm going to hit that gym. With Mr. Matt's membership, I'm his guest pass. And I probably will be there for about 2 weeks. And then, yeah, it'll be the same thing there as every year. But no, we're making some New Year's resolutions. But I think before we do, I think we need to look back. We need to do like my wife. Look back over our calendars. Look back over our journals. And just remember all that God has done. And then we can make some New Year's resolutions knowing, hey, man, God is doing some stuff. Even though it looks like little things, God is doing some stuff. And I'm going to make some big resolutions. I'm going to make some God-sized New Year's resolutions. I'm going to read the Bible in a year. I'm going to join a small group, finally. I'm going to commit and become a member of this church. I'm going to reach that person, that neighbor with the gospel this year. I'm going to share my faith. Somehow I'm going to find a way. Because God is working in it all. And it's a mystery how he's working. But as long as we're faithful, at the end of the day, we'll get to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, the best words of eternity, I think, by Jesus himself. And it's not so much that we're faultless, but we can still be faithful. We can still be faithful, even though we flop sometimes. So the mystery of Christ. In this letter, several times, Paul speaks of the mystery of it all. And the mystery is that God didn't come in the way we would have thought. God didn't come through those religious leaders, Gamaliel, whatever his name is. He didn't come through the guys with all their knowledge of the law and the Old Testament scriptures. He didn't begin his work through them. He didn't do it through the might of the Roman Empire at that time. He didn't come in as a conquering king and take over the world. He didn't do it through the intellectuals, the Stoics, the Greek philosophers. They ain't figured it out. He came through commoners, Mary and Joseph. He came through prison letters being written to churches on the outs. He did it through prison letters, prisoners reaching prison guards. He did it through the pain and humiliation of the cross. How is that? Nobody saw that coming. Satan didn't see that coming. Nobody saw that coming. God works in mysterious ways. He likes to. He's too much of a genius to just do it normal like us. He's beyond. And so what we have to do is take time and look, because we'll see like the back of a tapestry. We will see his hand and we will be encouraged that if he worked in 2024, he's going to work in 2025. And we can be encouraged. All things were created through him. Nothing that was made wasn't made through Jesus. The invisible, the visible. And I'm not talking about, when I say invisible, like telescopes not being able to see, like, yeah, that invisible too. But like the invisible realm. He created everything, Jesus. And he's working in our lives in some mysterious way. And all we got to do is try to be faithful. Trust in him and try to be faithful. So what can we walk away with? How can we be faithful? Well, Paul always wrote letters, but today we got texts. Like I said earlier, I know this is a church full of encouragers. You have an encouraging pastor. He is an encourager. That is one of his spiritual gifts. And we can send texts, emails, letters. And a word about texts, when you're sending a scripture to someone, always say this, preface what it is, why you're sending that scripture. Because I remember being in circles where it was like, everybody's just sending each other scriptures, and you're like, well, what? I don't even have time to go do the research to see what you're saying. Just say it in English, or tell me why you sent this text. Because I know you were in your quiet place and God gave you that word, but I'm not a mind reader. Tell me. You know, but sending scriptures is good. Sending it with some context is better. Just encouragement. I pray for the people in your life. I know you got some prayer warriors. You got some Epaphrases in this church. And I'm grateful that I've heard that some of them have prayed for Martinez. And so, we have some prayer warriors at our church too. It's the only reason I still have my job. Make it a commitment. Set in a reminder. I have to have a 10 o'clock reminder. Pray for Adrian. Not that I don't pray for her all the time, but, you know, it's good to have that reminder. Be generous in your giving to the church and to those in need. I think you're a generous church. I see that you're already, like, helping another church. That's awesome. Phenomenal. You guys are helping us. You guys are awesome. Can we get that next slide? Because I didn't even say no to sin. How can we be faithful in 2025? Say no to sin. Say no to it when it crops its ugly head. We don't have to give in to sin. Jesus has empowered us to be able to say no to sin. It's not easy, but we have been empowered to say no to sin. We were slaves to it. We ain't slaves to it anymore. We can say no. Being intentional and careful about who we give our time and attention to. Make this church, this body of believers, make this like your home. Make this your tribe. Get in, all in. You will not be disappointed. I love your guys' things. Connect. Grow. That grow has been speaking to me. Maybe because we're in Colossians, but, you know, it's here where it's in the church where you get to meet people who will help you grow. Get connected into your church. And then live for the audience of one. Don't do it for anybody else. Do it for Him. He's watching always and takes note of everything. Giving a cup of water to somebody in His name gets put on the list. Check. I saw that. Let's be faithful in 2025, but let's start by remembering that God has been faithful all through 2024. Would you pray with me? Lord God, You are the faithful one. When we are faithless, You are faithful. You don't abandon us. You don't discard us when we have done things that would seem to let You down. You are just, but You paid for the justice that is required for breaking Your law. And so now You are able to just be pleased with Your children, with Your creation, with the bride. And so help us make the bride a better place. Help us rally on behalf of the bride. Because Jesus, You deserve a perfect bride. One without spot or blemish. And we know that You are doing that work. But help us to, as it says, you know, work out your own salvation as God is working in you. And so there's that mystery as well, Lord, that You are doing it, but that we partake in it. So help us do our part. We can do nothing without You, so we look to You in that. I pray for everybody's 2025, God. May it be one full of experiencing Your presence, knowing that You're with them, even being able to see how Your hand is at work, God, that when they look over 2024, they are encouraged despite all the struggle, despite all the messiness, that they can see your hand at work and be encouraged and move into 2025 with hope. We love you, Jesus. Amen.